Grace and mercy and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. That is what this is all about. That's why he came. That's why in the hymns that we sang today, as we started through the church year and the life of Christ, already in our Advent hymn, we see that he came to suffer for his people. When he came in blessing, all our sins redressing, how he bore the cross to save us, we sang that in the Christmas hymn, What Child Is This?, especially the second stanza and the second half of it. Nails, spear shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. It was quite explicit in our Lenten Holy Week hymn, ride on in majesty, and the strange majesty of Jesus already beaten and battered, being led out to suffer and die. And then our Easter hymn, where he announced it was finished. He took his rest in the grave. He who on the cross, a victim for the world's salvation, bled, Jesus Christ, the King of glory, now is risen from the dead. And Peter said, no, Jesus, you can't do that. Think about how we approach our lives, how we approach the church year, and think about what Jesus did then for us. He told Peter, get behind me, Satan, you're a hindrance, you're a stumbling block to me. You're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And the Lord would invite you also to set your mind on his things and not the things of humankind, because the things of man are not the things usually that God chooses for us, but that we choose over what God does. God wants you to have a proper mindset. Paul talks about this in his letter to the Philippians, having the same mind as Christ Jesus. Having the same mind that he had to come and suffer and die because we were incapable of saving ourselves, and yet God loved us so much that he wanted us to be with him. And the only way that was going to happen was by him coming, by him living as one of us, by him suffering as bad or worse as any human has ever suffered, and by his dying as all mankind except, we know, Elijah and Enoch was forced to do. You need this proper mindset because the world is constantly trying to get you to change your mind, to have a different mind, to seek out the things that you want over the things that he wants, to seek out your own pleasure, your own safety, your own health and wealth above eternal life and above, a lot of times, what's good for those around you. We're born rather selfish, and without the correction of the laws of this world, of the instruction of our parents, and finally of God's law, it would be a free-for-all. It would be anarchy. It would be the law of the jungle, and the powerful will thrive, and everyone else will either die or be subjugated. The mind of God, the mind that Jesus had, was the mind of a servant. This goes contrary to our liking for everything to be neat and clean and shiny. Think about this. A lot of the world knows Christmas songs better than they know Christ, because they can't get away from them at one time, from sometime after Thanksgiving until Christmas, and now from sometime after Halloween until Christmas. There's probably still a few radio stations one place or another that play Christmas songs all around the year, so if you want to dip into them, you can. But certainly at that time of year, country stations play Christmas, rock stations play Christmas, adult contemporary stations play Christmas, and stations that hardly ever play music sometimes play Christmas. And when they do, some of the songs are just those innocuous holiday winter theme songs. with sleigh rides and snowmen and things like that. And some of them are the secular Christmases with Santa and reindeers, and some of them are the religious ones, like O Little Town of Bethlehem, How Still We See Thee Lie, or Gentle Mary, Later Head, a lot of other songs. And when we get then to our Christmas song that we sang today, What Child Is This? So often when you hear it, they rewrite that second stanza and they leave out that nasty little bit about nails and spears, about suffering and dying, because that's not what people want to think about. They want the shiny packages and the bright lights and the baubles and the glitter. They don't want a blood-stained Jesus front and center. Peter doesn't want that either. Peter wants things to go along gloriously. Peter's the guy who, as much as anybody, will be yay when Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem. Maybe he's forgotten all about this suffering and dying thing, and he's ready to raise these people up into rebellion and take the throne of David and rule from Jerusalem and establish a new divine kingdom. But Jesus went to a different throne and ruled in a different way. He came to the throne of the cross. God the Father is completely glorified as Jesus, his Son, is completely shamed, bruised, broken, breathing out his last. And even as he does go through those last hours, gasping for breath, he's breathing out words that refer to what the scriptures have said before him. Praying Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Speaking words of comfort to his mother. Speaking words of invitation to the repentant criminal who is being crucified beside him. And speaking words of forgiveness for even Pilate, even the high priests and Herod and all those others who either actually and specifically and willfully put him on the cross, or who just sat to the side and did nothing because nothing seemed safer. None of them having the right mindset, none of them recognizing their sinful natures and their need for a Savior. If Jesus would have listened to Peter, the party wouldn't have stopped. It would have gotten bigger and brasher and bolder, but finally, at the end of time, the party would have ground to a complete halt, and all of those who had been laid to rest in their graves and all of those still living would be looking at an absolutely bleak eternity, because without him suffering and dying, without him stretched out on the cross and then laid out in the tomb, death and sin and devil would triumph, and we would not be allowed into the eternal, beautiful, bright, shiny, glorious presence of God. We couldn't open that last and best gift because it would be withheld, because sinful, stained hands aren't allowed to touch the pretty things. We aren't even allowed in the house. We're not even allowed in the environs of the house. Go away! Jesus speaks of judgment here at the end of today's gospel reading. He mentions it elsewhere in Matthew. The other gospels record it. The epistles talk about it. But it's already foreshadowed in the Old Testament how God will separate the righteous and the wicked, and how the eternal kingdom does not belong to every old person for every old reason, but it belongs to those who trust in the Lord for salvation, period. And the only salvation that comes from the Lord comes from the Jesus who not only came and was born, had angels serenading him and wise men bringing him those wonderful gifts, but the Jesus who was hungry and thirsty and abandoned and lonely and overworked and certainly underpaid and finally neglected, arrested, and put to death. That's the Jesus, not that we would necessarily choose, not the cute baby in the manger, not the one with the angels singing, not the one coming down in glory at the end, but we don't get those things if we don't have that bloody, body hanging on the cross. Because when he says, Father, forgive them, he means also, Father, forgive you sitting here today, me standing up here. Forgive all of those sinners throughout all time. Because even if we didn't grab a nail or a spear or a hammer or a crown of thorns, we all are complicit in his suffering and death because we all are sinners. And only because Christ died for us and is now risen do we have the absolute guarantee that we will not die forever, that we will not suffer torment like Jesus without end, but rather that we will be raised up to new and glorious lives ourselves. Our Epiphany hymn mentioned the myrrh, which was a standard burial spice, quite expensive. I doubt that the Holy Family kept it around. They probably lived on it while they ran off to hide in Egypt for a while and maybe for a bit thereafter, just as with the gold and the frankincense. But it was a foreshadowing, just as so much of the Old Testament already points to the one who will suffer. Even today's Old Testament reading, what happens to the prophet happens even more to the Christ who gives word to the prophet. The abandonment, the forsakenment, everybody's against me. But nobody prevails over him. Even when he goes to suffer and die, he goes willingly. It's not because they had enough soldiers to take Jesus. It's because Jesus refused to strike dead those soldiers who took him. They couldn't have laid one finger on him, let alone lashed a whip across his back, if he had not allowed it, if his Father had not sent him to receive just that for you and for me. And the mindset is, what happened to him, I deserve, but what happened to him came so that I would get something better. I would get the glory. I would get the hallelujahs. I would get the eternal presence of God without having to be abandoned by him. Because if God abandons you at the end, there is no do-over. There is no second chance. And so he invites you, commands you to have that same mind. And then as a believer in him, to take that mind out into the world. You who were redeemed by God's perfect servant then are invited to become God's servants. Jesus gave everything for you, and you are invited to give to those around you. Not only to have faith in God, trust in Christ Jesus as your Savior, but also then to take that love of God in Christ Jesus and to love your neighbor as yourself. And to suffer whatever if something gets in the way of that love. We'll next sing about Christ's ascension. But in that then we are reminded that he ascends to come back. He ascends so that he can prepare a place for us. He ascends so that we might ascend with him, so that we might be citizens of the new heaven and the new earth. And our final hymn then will sum up everything about Jesus that's good to know. Caesar said during his Gallic Wars, I came, I saw, I conquered. Well, those are Jesus' words even more so. He came to earth, he saw the mess, and he conquered. He conquered sin, he conquered death, he conquered devil. He conquered our sinful natures and sends his Holy Spirit to give us a new nature, a new heart and mind, so that we might be God's children within and without. He washes us in baptism. He continually forgives us, and he gives us then the heavenly food of his body and his blood that we can be strengthened on our way and be prepared whenever it is for our ends. Because when our lives on earth do end, our life is just beginning. And that too is the right mindset. Whatever happens to me, however I live, however I die, as long as it is in Christ Jesus, I will not die forever. I will not hear on the last day, go away, I never knew you, but rather come. And receive what has been prepared for you. Receive what I give you, what I earned for you, and what I want you to have for day after day without end. Receive God's love. You wouldn't have that if Jesus had listened to Peter instead the mind of God. You wouldn't have that if he had grabbed the glory right then rather than glorified his Father by suffering and dying. You wouldn't have peace if Jesus' peace hadn't been taken away. You wouldn't have life unless sinners had ended his life. And you wouldn't have life everlasting unless he had been raised from the dead to live forever at his Father's right hand. God grant that you be raised also and live with the Christ and his Father and the Holy Spirit in glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus.